And now we're joined by Sarah Jane King, Ontario Chairperson of the Federation of Students, here to comment on a lot of the hard-hitting news that we're receiving right now in Hamilton. So Sarah Jane, thanks so much for being with us here on the program today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Two interviews on today's program are being devoted to this subject, and the first big issue or the first big item is this tour, the student solidarity tour that's going all across Ontario, including in Hamilton. In fact, according to the release here, it's in Hamilton City Hall, right in the council chambers. That's a very significant location. It's important. And the speaker list, too, is also very significant. I notice here we've got Jeremy Bédard-Wien, and he's a member of the executive committee of class. So you have two, three other powerful speakers. I guess we're very fortunate to have this selection here. What can you tell us about the group that is going to be hitting in Hamilton?
Yeah, so I'm kind of helping coordinate the tour and going through all of Southern Ontario to all of our stops with the speakers. So we have Jeremy from class, which is really exciting. Of course, class being the largest student coalition that's on strike. We're also being joined by Audrey DeVoe, who's the chairperson of the Dawson Students Union, which is a college, CEGEP in Montreal, and she's also currently the national executive representative for Quebec to the Canadian Federation of Students, and Marianne Breton-Fontaine, who is has a lot of experience with Cégep de Vieux Montréal, which is one of the cégeps in Montreal that was known for being particularly radical over the past many years in terms of its stances. And she's currently the editor of Jeunesse Militante, which is a magazine. And so she's also traveling as a journalist in some sense.
Well, the CEGEPs are very important to the struggle in Quebec. I know our community colleges are very important. I guess the strategy, whatever you're developing, is going to have to encompass universities, community colleges, and other sectors of education.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's been integral in organizing in Quebec. The college system and college students have been extremely strongly supportive of everything going on and have in many ways been leading the call. And in Ontario, the situation is much different. Our college system is much less politicized than our university system, and there's limited involvement from students through their student unions. And so there's a lot of work to be done at the college level in Ontario.
Well, a lot of these things may change. I mean, this tour signifies the intense interest in Ontario. I know we've run a few interviews on our program, other programs, newspapers are covering it. We have the Casseroles events in Ontario and in the rest of Canada. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are spreading and changing and transforming the way that people oppose some of these policies. This tour was not announced too long ago, but already a lot of people I know have already signed up for it. I mean, what kind of response are you getting right now in Ontario?
Well, I mean, the tour kicks off tomorrow in Ottawa. We've already received a lot of interest from folks that have been advertising on the ground to get people out to the specific events at the local places. But we have also gotten a lot of media attention already, and we haven't even really issued our press release or anything, right? So I'm sure we'll get much more starting tomorrow. But I've been contacted by a number of newspapers and radio in both Montreal and from English Canada.
People are very interested in what's going to happen. You know, this debate is gone beyond Canada. The United States newspapers have discussed what's happening in Quebec, what's happening in Canada, because they are facing their own tuition crisis. I mean, crisis is the word that we want to use here, because I think student debt is now overtaking other forms of debt, both in the United States and in Canada.
Yeah, definitely. In the United States is actually quite alarming, the numbers of debt. But in Ontario and in Canada, I mean, we have students graduating from four-year degrees with an average of $37,000 in debt, which is fairly scary, to be frank. And this doesn't include private debt. We have no way of actually calculating each student's credit card debt. We don't have access to that information, but we know that students are taking on bank debt, credit card debt, loans from parents, etc., on top of the loans that they're receiving from the government. And it's really put us in a position where students are, you know, are more likely to drop out if they take on these types of loans. So they're more likely to not finish their degree, and they're also graduating with these debts that prevent them from really fully living their life in the way that they want to and should be able to.
It's making people take on a real cost-benefit analysis in that sense. If you want to get an education, if you want to go to university, you've got to weigh that against the massive debt you're going to pile up. Already in the United Kingdom, I hear that there's about a 9% decrease in enrollment after tuition hikes. Making a market decision about your education seems to be what they want us to do. We've been moving from the grant-based to a loan-based system. But I hear it's even bigger than that. There's these transformations in effect to move to a three-year program. Can you tell us what some of these radical changes that are being proposed?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we've seen over the past many years a trend towards various steps that not only privatize our education system, but also promote this idea that pursuing post-secondary education is of a personal benefit. And so you should be making this this cost-benefit analysis, and you're really making a decision for yourself as opposed to a more collective decision you're making and something that actually benefits society as a whole and that should be a public good. And this year, we're actually seeing for the first time most institutions in Ontario will actually be receiving more private dollars, so tuition fees, than they will be receiving public dollars, so government funding. So our institutions have effectively been privatized by stealth, which is very concerning. And we've just seen released a discussion paper by the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities, which actually talks about some of these changes towards things like a three-year degree, which would actually prevent us from potentially pursuing further education, talking about moving more and more courses to a goal of having the majority of our courses online, and many other changes that are incredibly concerning to students. Also things like having full-year courses, or not full-year courses, but full-year study, so basically being expected to study in the summer as well as in the fall and the winter.
Well, how do you work a part-time job when you're doing that?
Well, exactly. It's hard to, many students depend on having a semester off to work full time, or to work more than full time, as definitely is my experience. And it's really difficult for students to be finding ways. And the reality, though, is that the government is saying that a lot of these changes are going to benefit students' ability to get through school. They're going to save students money. They're going to make more opportunities for students. And they're really using a lot of messaging that is quite frankly untrue and definitely gets to people, but is not the right framing that students want to be taking.
Well, you're characterizing education as a public good here. I understand mm-hmm. you've done some analysis on returns. I mean, there's people that may not even have children. Children that aren't in university, children that aren't in colleges, but as a society, we benefit from these degrees and these graduates.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the case. And it's also really problematic to see that people are saying that we should be prioritizing certain types of degrees, because that's one thing that we're worried about too is funding frameworks for you know, certain degrees over others. And there's all these arguments made about the you know, curiosity based and driven research is not what we need. We need specific types of science, for example. We need that as well, but we need everything else too. And these things need to be valued and funded equally.
If you talk to the Texas Republican Party, they think that critical thinking is not necessary at the high school level.
Yeah, well, we're seeing that problem in Canada more and more, too.
And we know what Harper thinks of scientists.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, yeah. You read the Globe and Mail comments and they'll say, well, everyone should become an engineer or you should get a degree in sciences. Well, you know, if you're a climate scientist, you're a scientist working for the government, times are pretty tough right now. And you hear discussions saying, well, students are taking programs, majors that they shouldn't be taking. They're unmarketable majors, and that's the real crime. So when you graduate, when you have that debt that you have to start paying off immediately, that's, as you said, going to push you into certain types of occupations, I think.
Definitely. I mean, people are being forced to make decisions about, let's even take the example, say you decide you want to go into law. Which most people would argue is a really good profession and something you should go into, even the people that are saying you should be choosing degrees that you can find a job in. Now, when you graduate from law school with tens of thousands of dollars of debt, you're going to be less likely to pursue a job that actually pays you less, which might be related to social justice related law or equity law or various firms that might be smaller and this kind of thing. And so instead you're going to be looking to go into corporate law and professions that will get you a bigger paycheck to pay off your debt, which is a completely rational thing to do, but really should not be what the system is promoting.
Well, individual rationality, I guess they're hoping all the rational individuals will add up into a rational society. Already in the UK, there's in some of the universities in the low-income areas, they've started cutting courses that they think will not lead to marketable majors or marketable situation for graduates. So they will cut fine arts or other subjects.
Sure, yeah. It's I mean, we definitely have seen program cuts at institutions in Canada as well. And sometimes it's definitely been a bit more localized. It's some programs are just getting either cuts or made smaller at certain institutions. We've also seen a decrease in some places that are that have been offering French learning, decreasing the amount of French services, and that's a really big problem, especially in Ontario, where we have a lot of Francophone students, and they don't actually have access to post-secondary education the way an Anglophone student does.
Mm-hmm. No, we've got a government at the federal level and candidates at the provincial level that want to turn us into a northern right-to-work state, I think. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of efforts to ameliorate the situation. I know people are waiting very expectantly. So we have this tour coming up this Saturday. That's Saturday, July 14th. At 6 o'clock p.m. here in Hamilton City Hall at the Council Chambers. So I guess everyone's invited. They're going to be talking about how the strike grew, as you say, from mm-hmm. a campaign for access to education into this generalized anti-austerity movement. So very pleased to see that. I know there'll be a lot of people, media, checking that out. So thanks for your role in helping organize this. We're very appreciative, and we're looking to see more of these kind of actions across Ontario. So thanks so much for sharing this information and these details with us today.
Definitely. Thank you so much.